Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Judas. Just his name makes us think of betrayal and treachery. Because of what he did, some people see him as the worst person in history. For example, in the Inferno, Dante paints Judas in the ninth and lowest circle of hell, being eaten head first in one of Satan's three mouths. He is forever chewed but never swallowed. The two mouths on either side of him are eating Brutus and Cassius, the two men involved in the assassination of Julius Caesar. They are being eaten feet first. So Judas, by being in the middle and going head first, is seen as worse than them. I mean, who in their right mind would betray Jesus, the Messiah? We would never do such a thing, right? Then again, maybe we would. Okay, sure, we're not in Jesus' inner circle. We don't have the authorities looking for a way to kill him. And we certainly are not being eaten in one of Satan's three mouths. But I think today we do still betray him. Like Judas, we still look out for our own interests instead of what Jesus wants. And maybe we don't sell him out for 30 pieces of silver, but instead, we sell him out for something that is often more valuable than money. Society's approval. Like today, we don't want to risk offending someone by talking about Jesus, so we just keep our mouths shut. We don't want to be seen as some weird religious freak, so we say that faith is a private matter. We don't want to be confused with people who give Christians a bad name, so we say nothing. Instead of betraying Jesus for money, we betray him for the acceptance of others. We betray him for a social currency. We focus on living our lives as we see fit, or as our culture sees fit, rather than pledging our allegiance to Jesus. And Jesus knows this, just as he knew what Judas was about to do. All the other disciples, of course, they were oblivious. But Jesus and Judas knew what was going on. All right, our gospel reading tonight skips over 13 verses. But in part of those verses, we hear Jesus say this: "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. Peter even whispered into the ear of the beloved disciple to ask Jesus, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then says, "It's the one to whom he hands a piece of bread." And he hands it to Judas. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." And then the text says, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. So clearly, the other disciples didn't have a clue what was going on. Even after Jesus flat out told them that Judas would betray him, they still thought he was telling Judas to go prepare for the festival. They didn't realize what was actually happening. And in the same way, the people around you probably have no idea what's happening with you either. Oh, sure, there are people you're close to and you share things with, but I imagine there are still parts of you that no one knows. Parts of you that are dark. Parts that you try to hide. Maybe parts that even the people closest to you don't know about. But Jesus knows. Just as he knew what was going on with Judas. And I imagine that knowledge colored the events of that last night together. Like, I bet when Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them," I bet he was looking right at Judas. With the subtext of, "Remember, you are not greater than me." Jesus then said, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." And then in some other verses that we skipped over, he said, "I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he." So Jesus knew what was going on with Judas. And he knows what's going on with you. He knows your doubts, your questions, your fears. He knows the ways that you try to control what happens in your life. He knows how you try to keep quiet about your faith. And how you really like it when others accept you. He knows when you sell out. And that's why tonight, on this Maundy Thursday, we started with confession. We admit that we have betrayed Jesus. We admit that we have not lived the way that he wants us to live. We admit that we understand where Judas is coming from. Because we are right there too. We have not loved you with our whole heart. But then, of course, we heard that word of forgiveness. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. And then with that laying on of hands, you heard that individual word of forgiveness spoken to you. So hear it now again. Whatever your sins, whatever ways you have turned away from Jesus, however you have betrayed him, Jesus forgives you. On that last night with his disciples, Jesus washed their feet, including Judas's feet. Now, we heard about Peter being reluctant to have Jesus wash him, but what about Judas? Did he balk at it too, or did he just kind of go along with it so as not to make a scene? And notice that Jesus washed his feet. Before, not after, Judas went out to betray him. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, and yet he still washed his feet. He still served him. He still loved him. Judas did not do a thing to deserve it. Actually, he was about to do a really horrible thing. But Jesus still loved him. And in our second reading tonight from 1 Corinthians, Paul writes those words that have become our words of institution. On the night when he was betrayed. Betrayal colors this entire meal. Both back then and now. And we don't usually think of communion that way, but it's true. We are the ones who betrayed Jesus. We do not deserve to be here. And yet Jesus still serves us. He still served Judas by washing his feet. He still included Judas at the table. And he still includes you and me. Yes, we will continue to sin. We will continue to focus on our own ways. We will continue to hand Jesus over to the powers of silence simply so we can be accepted by others. But Jesus, even knowing that we do all of that, still loves us. He still loves you. He still washes you in the waters of baptism. He washes you in the words of forgiveness. And he still has a place for you at this table. After Judas left that night, Jesus said the last part of our reading to the disciples who were still there. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So that means, yes, we may be like Judas, but we are also like the other disciples, the ones who went from that table and changed the world, the ones who showed love to others, the ones who reached out to others who were also undeserving and told them how much Jesus loved them too. And so as we gather at this table tonight, Jesus feeds us with himself. As the altar gets stripped, we see that Jesus gives us himself. And as we leave this place tonight, we can share with others the love that Jesus gave us himself. Well, Judas may be known throughout history as the ultimate betrayer. But thankfully, Jesus is still known as the Savior of the world, which includes the Savior of us. So come to this table. Jesus is giving himself to you and for you. Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. Come. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. In the name of the one who loves us no matter what, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.